Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, the Biblical Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your daily Bible reading, 10 Minutes with Jesus, looking at Colossians chapter 2. We'll begin in verse 16. Paul writes, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you in regard to food or drink, or in regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were coming, but the body belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone who enjoys false humility and the worship of angels tell you that you are disqualified from the prize. This person goes into detail about what he has seen. He is puffed up for no reason by the attitude of his sinful flesh. He does not hold on to the head, from whom the whole body grows with the growth that comes from God, as it is supported and held together by its sinews and ligaments. If you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why do you submit to its rules as if you were still living in the world? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. All of these rules end in destruction when they are used, because they are in accord with human commands and teachings. While such rules have the appearance of wisdom with self-chosen religion, which consists of humiliation and severe treatment of the body, they have no value at all in checking the self-indulgence of the sinful flesh. This is the word of our God." With these words, Paul vividly connects us to Jesus because back in verse 13 and right before that, in verse 12 really, you are circumcised in Christ with the circumcision of Christ Jesus in the putting off of the body of the flesh. What he's talking about there is our obligation as people to live according to the laws, and also talking about our inclination towards sin. And Paul says that since Jesus carried our sin, he has released us from any obligation to the flesh, and he has released us from the need to jump and be afraid of God's law, because he has set us free, because we were buried with Christ in baptism, and we were raised with him through the faith that God created through that baptism, and God made you alive, okay? And so that's all the kind of background. And he says, "Therefore, because of this reason, the fact that you have been made alive in Christ, do not let anyone judge you in regard to food or drink, regard to a festival or new moon or a Sabbath day." All these obligations and stipulations and rules that he talks about here are rules that especially the Old Testament Jewish people had to follow. And Paul says that, "Dear friend, you've been set free from those." The festival, new moon, and Sabbath day, just talking about different religious observances that they had to do as part of their obligation to God's law and their duty under God's law. And this is very similar to what he writes in Galatians. Except I think in Galatians he is a little bit more forceful, or quite a bit more forceful, where he says that, you know, if somebody provides something for you to obey, if somebody says that you have to do this and you have to do that in order to be a Christian, or in order to live up to God's law, they're wrong. And if that's the case, then you've really lost Christ. And if you think that you have to observe the Passover or the Sabbath day or other certain days and events, you have to eat certain foods or dress in certain clothing, you know, like a Jewish person can't have meat on their cheese pizza. You can't, because that would be mixing the milk product with a meat product, and they aren't allowed to do that. You know, something as simple as that, or wearing two different types of textiles at the same time. So a cotton polyester blend shirt wouldn't be sufficient, and that would make you ceremonially unclean. Or if you wear, you know, cotton jeans and so like a silk top of some sort, again, that would be ceremonially unclean and wrong. But Paul says, if somebody puts on you an obligation of something that you have to live up to in order to be a Christian, they're wrong. Why? Verse 17. "These are a shadow of the things that were coming, but the body belongs to Christ." It's the image of somebody walking along and the sun is behind them. And if they're walking a long way, perhaps you just see the shadow for a while. And people love the shadow. That's Paul's point. But the body, the actual person, belongs to Jesus. That those ceremonial laws that the Jewish people followed and that the Colossians maybe had latched onto for whatever reason, those ceremonial laws were a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And so when we hold on to Jesus, we have to hold on to the freedom that we have in Jesus and not to the foreshadowing that pointed to Jesus. Even the Sabbath day, you know, the book of Hebrews talks about the Sabbath rest that we now enjoy as believers, the fact that you and I have complete rest in Jesus. Even the dietary stipulations, the clothing stipulations, the laws about ceremonial cleanliness, all of that has been fulfilled and in some way pointed ahead to Christ and in some way kept the Jewish people separate from the rest of the world so that they wouldn't get mixed in with all the other nations and disappear as a nation. Those were all preparatory, but the body, the reality, belongs to Jesus Christ. And he brings this up again. The other NIV translation, the reality is found in Christ, is kind of the wording that we have there. And that's true. But I think Paul uses, he's very specific about the body here. Because again, he's talking to this group of people, this congregation who is already struggling with this idea of Gnosticism, that God's law doesn't matter and that Jesus didn't have an actual human body. And any time that he can bring it back to the physical reality that Jesus has a physical body and that he still has that body today, he takes that opportunity. The body belongs to Christ. And he, you know, is in this image of a man walking and you see the shadow first before you see the body of the person. It's kind of interesting that it brings that out. But then verse 18 and 19 kind of go together. When he talks about false humility, the worship of angels, this person who goes into great detail about what he has seen, he's puffed up for no reason. Talking about all of these things that Scripture hasn't given us all the detail on. And this is very common. All you have to do is scroll YouTube for 10 minutes and you'd be able to find and run across a couple of different preachers, I'm sure. Or, you know, walk through a book section of a bookstore and you'd be able to find a couple of different preachers or a couple of different authors who take like one verse and one verse out of this story that isn't well known, you know, about like there's an entire book based around the story of a man. You know, I think this is in 2 Kings or 2 Samuel or Judges. See, I don't even know it's that nondescript. But it's the story of a man who killed a tiger in a pit. He is in a pit with a tiger and he ended up killing the tiger with a spear. And it's an icy pit. And this author used that one verse of scripture to build an entire book and turn it into a metaphor for our lives or leadership or something like that. And people do that where they want to have this appearance of wisdom and knowledge. And so they will take one little part, one little verse or one little part of a verse and start spinning tales based on that and start talking about all the details and wanting and striving so hard to look intelligent and look learned, but they're missing the point. Because the point isn't about how smart I am, how wise and learned I am, and what a great public speaker I am. The point is that I want you to see the reality, the body, that is Jesus Christ. And going into all sorts of detail about things that the Bible hasn't will only end up distracting us from the reality of Jesus Christ. And you could probably imagine and see how that would happen, where somebody just has an idea that he or she wants to be a teacher in God's church, but doesn't necessarily have the qualifications or have the study to go with it. And he or she just finds their own little corner, you know, own little nondescript passage in scripture, and then just kind of works from there. That's their own particular nook or cranny, and that's what they kind of get their start with. And if you look at American Christianity, that describes a lot of it, quite frankly. A lot of teachers who are are given a lot more credit for their learning than they should have. Many of them are very compelling speakers, but a lot of them end up in the same boat as what Paul talks about here. This person who goes into great detail about what they think they know, and they don't even know what they think they know. Anyway, the point is verse 19, that we hold on to the head, because the head is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who builds his church, and he builds his church not through the power of personality and persona, not through persuasive speech and public speaking. He builds his church by leading people to Jesus. He is the one who builds his church by turning hearts around through that word, by the Holy Spirit. And that's the point that Paul makes as he kind of concludes this, because it'd be very simple to think of, you know, what do I need to change my life? Well, I just need a better system. I need a better set of rules. I need some more understanding. What do I need to really change a sinful behavior, a sinful attitude, or sinful habit? Well, give me two or three things that I can write down and tuck in my back pocket, and then I'll get to work on it this next week. And yes, there is a place for, you know, some guidelines, you know, some law, which is kind of like, you know, the guardrail on a road. There is a place for having that sort of law. But Paul's point here is that people, and this is all over podcast world, between the self-help segment and self-help books and what passes for Christianity in a lot of our churches, if you look at it, all it is a command, a set of guidelines, a set of principles, a set of things to do. But you, dear Christian, you've been brought to Jesus. You've been brought to the one who says, all is done, it is finished. He doesn't say, keep on doing so that you can finish it. He says, all is done. That you don't have to do these particular things or refrain from those particular things in order to be a Christian. No, Jesus is the one who has made you a Christian through his word. And as a result of his work in you, his work continues by leading you to want to avoid sin and avoid temptation and bring him glory by what you do and how you live. Just a little bit of an introduction. There's a fantastic book about this. It's probably 8 or 9 years old, called Jesus Plus Nothing Equals Everything. The author has since disgraced himself and exited the public ministry, and I think he's pretending or, you know, posing as a pastor again. Maybe he's getting back into it. That's another topic for another day. But if you do run across that book, give it a read. It's by Billy Graham's grandson, Tullian Chavigian. I don't even know how to spell it. But Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And you can turn that equation around, that if you have Jesus, even if you have nothing, you still have everything. And if you have everything without Jesus, then you have nothing. Anyway, that'll be another topic for another day. But thanks for listening, and hit that share button to share this to a friend, either this episode or any of the other episodes. I think we're over 400 now. And thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate it. God bless your day.